Hey everybody, welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast on this Valentine's Day Sunday. I am Kevin. Join with me, as always, is Andrew. And Andrew, is there love in the air today?
There is love in the air in the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We are recording this on Valentine's Day, and there's a lot of love to go around.
There is. I mean, we went 2-0 against two top 10 teams. I'm still not sure you can call West Virginia a top 10 team, but whatever.
They're top 10 team. Top 10 team, and I love it.
2-0 against the top 10 teams. Got a nice win on the road against Oklahoma. We obviously will touch on both of those games and also preview the games ahead. We'll talk a little Big 12 race today. And, you know, Andrew, we're going to play some games today, too. It's a lovely day for a game. Sun's coming out. I understand you have put together a game. I don't know what the game is, but that will be toward the end. But first, Andrew, there's some love in the air. There is love in the air.
It's the Cupids flying his little booty around, shooting his arrows. And I understand that each of us have written some love letters on behalf of the Jayhawk podcast to specific individuals. And I think that you've got a letter that you would like to read.
I do. Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. I've written a letter on behalf of the Jayhawk Talk podcast to Devontae Graham, who I think that everyone fell in love with yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Let me
give you some music.
Okay. This is our Valentine to Devontae Graham.
All right. Here we go. And
cue it up.
Go. You're good to go.
Dear Devontae. Hey, what's up? How are you? We are fine. We've seen you on the basketball court. We've seen you whizzing down Jayhawk Boulevard on your hoverboard. But it wasn't until yesterday that we really saw you. Sorry about that. Your three-point shot is as smooth as Brady Morningstar on the dance floor. Your defense is as fierce as Bernadette Gray Little's menacing glare. Devontae, will you be our new favorite player? Please check yes or no. Love, Jayhawk Talk podcast. Yay. So that's our Valentine to Devontae Graham. Devontae, if you would just check yes or no on that, we're good to go.
I think he'll check yes, right?
Hope so.
Okay.
I'm going to be like really nervous about it.
I know. Yeah. Okay. I've got one as well. This one is just for me though. Not as much from you. I mean, I don't know. I think you probably have like a little bit in this, but it's probably mostly me. And this is my I'm sorry letter to Landon Lucas. Here we go. Landon, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying that you're not good at basketball. I mean, I'm still not sure you're that good, but damn it, you're good for this team. I'm sorry for creating the hashtag dunk or pass thing on Twitter. I mean, you're more or less following that now, so that's good, but I'm still sorry. You're really good at rebounding, and you're actually being pretty efficient. So I'm sorry, Landon. Also for that last podcast when I said someone could use Landon as a good KU baby name because you'd have the same motor skills. I didn't really mean that. I'm sorry, Landon.
That's it. Love, Kevin.
Love, Kevin.
Or sincerely, most sincerely.
Sincerely.
Love, Kevin.
Sincerely yours.
So those are good. Love is in the air. We're just, you know, sending out these Valentines. I think it's appropriate. But we've got some other Valentine's things to talk about. I think that you and your wife were trying to come up with some Valentine's Day bits for the podcast, and you decided to cast some KU players in romantic comedies. And so I'd like to hear what you all came up with.
This was her idea.
I heard she had a little car ride to experiment, so I think some of the best ideas come from mile marker 191 to mile marker 187 on I-70. So what did you come up with?
Okay, so, you know, again, rom-coms mostly. We thought it might be kind of fun to cast KU players or Big 12, you know, personalities or whatever. So the first one, this was hers. I liked it. It was that Devontae Graham should be cast as the little kid in Love Actually, because he's like a little kid. He like learns to play the drums so he can impress the girl. You know, like, I think that makes some sense, right?
So he learned to play the drums yesterday. He was banging that drum.
Yeah, he was. How about this one? Scott Drew as the 40-year-old virgin.
Love it.
I don't think we need to really say anything else.
Love it.
Evan and Tyler as the guys in Wedding Crashers. Pretty good.
That should be a sequel. Like, that's legit. Like, actually a good idea.
I think so, too. And Nico could play Will Ferrell.
Oh, perfect.
All right. So I thought this one was good. A Bill Self and Brandon Green and 10 Things I Hate About You. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
I think it has a happy ending, but man.
Right.
That's good.
It's a rom-com, man. They all have happy endings. We put Hunter Mickelson in Sleepless in Seattle just for no reason other than it felt right.
I'd watch it. I'd watch it.
Yeah. And then just kind of at the end, we were trying to think of something for Perry, and it just wasn't matching up at all. My wife was just like, you know, maybe Perry should just like be the next Bachelor.
Mm.
Would you watch Perry Ellis
as
the next Bachelor?
We'd start a new podcast about it.
Probably. Yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of, we're going to be covering Survivor on this podcast because Scott Pollard is a contestant on Survivor. So as long as Scott Pollard is in on Survivor, we will be doing updates on this podcast.
We might need to have a correspondent because I am not watching that show.
I'll watch it.
You'll watch it? Okay.
I mean, I've never watched it. I've never watched Survivor.
I haven't either. Not for me. But
with Scott Pollard is awesome.
So, I agree with that.
So anyway, Perry should be on The Bachelor. I mean, maybe he's setting a precedent. Scott Pollard's setting a precedent for KU players on reality shows. Perry, if an NBA doesn't work out for you, I think there's a career in reality television. Not because you're a outrageous personality, just because.
Not at all.
Yeah, no.
Not at all. It would just be him playing video games and, like, who wants to be, like, who's coolest with, like, hanging out with him while he plays video games? Like, that'd be it.
I'd watch it. All right, let's talk about West Virginia. Before we talk about this big game this past weekend with Oklahoma, West Virginia came first. It was a much different ball game than about a month ago. Let's just talk about a couple of the differences in terms of turnovers for KU. In the first game, we had 22. Second game, we had 15, which is still quite a bit. We did have 4 in a row in the second half, but...
Yeah.
Still significantly less free throws. I think they figured out some ball handling things. Cleaned up some passes. Because remember in that first game, there were so many passes out of bounds.
Yeah.
Three-quarter court, half-court passes that were just to no one.
Just dumb passes. It wasn't even like – it was a lot of unforced turnovers in that game. I mean, it's like their press wasn't bothering us, but it was in our heads, you know?
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
And I think another big change from the first game is the free throw disparity. In the first game, West Virginia had 47 free throw attempts. In this game, West Virginia had 22. So, and that's kind of more along the lines of what we shot and they shot, and probably what is more traditional and more average for how those games go. So that's significantly different. Another thing I wanted to point out in terms of fast break points, West Virginia is this press Virginia high tempo defense, high steal, high turnover type team.
Sure.
And we gave up 0 points scored off the fast break for West Virginia.
Yeah.
Big goose egg, a zero. We had 10. In the first game, they had 4. So, I mean, it's not that big of a difference, but West Virginia does rely a lot on those fast break points coming off those turnovers. So that was something to keep our head up about. And just to kind of cover a couple other things, before we talk about Landon Lucas, I want you to talk about him a little bit. Before we do that, let's talk about Perry Ellis. In that game, he continued his efficient dominance at 21 points. He was 7 of 9 from the field.
He was so good.
And really was the best player on the floor. He'd get the ball somewhere in the paint, whether at the top of the paint, middle of the paint, by the block, would make a couple moves, and the ball would just go in.
That's a good matchup for him, too. I mean, just against that team. There's just – they can't guard him. And, I mean, he played really well in Morgantown, too. Just no one else did. I think it's a good matchup for him. And, gosh, he's been playing so well. He didn't play awesome against Oklahoma, but he didn't need to either. But, man, what a great showing by him. And then, you're right, we got to talk about Landon because this was Landon's kind of coming out party. 9 points, 16 boards. Another – probably good matchup for Landon when you think about it, just because they don't have, a little quick guy, at least in the, who he was guarding. Didn't have to. The matchup was pretty good for him, and they don't rebound. They go back. So he was just collecting everything. You know, I think the biggest thing was, you know, we held him to 37% from the field, which is awesome. And I don't think that game was even as close as 10 points. Like it felt like a blowout the entire game. And I, you know, somehow they kind of kept it at least, you know, close enough to 10 points, but I felt great about that game. I thought they played really well, probably the best they've played in a while, until, you know, obviously the Oklahoma game, but a fun game, and obviously one that they really needed to set up a big matchup against Oklahoma on Saturday. Should we get to that game?
I agree. Let's talk about OU, because huge game, huge win for the Jayhawks, puts them in the driver's seat for the Big 12. We'll talk about that more here in a little bit. But the first question I want to ask you, after the 76-72 win, was this game a worthy sequel to the game in Allen Fieldhouse? So if in terms of a movie, first game, classic. We're talking Godfather. We're talking Fast Five. We're talking Ocean's 11, just to talk in terms that you understand, right?
Okay.
So to talk in those terms, this is a Fast Five type of movie or an Ocean's 11 type of movie, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In terms of a sequel, was this something great like Ocean's 13? Sort of great like Fast 6. Not great like Ocean's 12. Or terrible like Caddyshack 2.
Good questions. I think this was great. It could have been really, really great. In fact, probably should have been another overtime game if Buddy makes that free throw. And that would have tied the game with just, what, how much time left? About 20 seconds?
25
left?
Seconds.
25 seconds. So a good chance that that would have forced an overtime there. Missed it, obviously. I think this was a great game. You know, obviously, KU played pretty well. Oklahoma just made timely shots. Again, this one didn't feel like a four-point game. It felt like KU played better. But on the road, you know, man, you gotta kind of grind. They made 22 of 27 free throws and obviously had a whole bunch in the first half to keep them within striking distance. They ended up making 10 three-pointers after making, what, two in the first half. So, you know, they obviously came out shooting in the second half and fought back and actually ended up taking the lead. And then KU kind of fought back. And I don't know, I remember tweeting something like, you know, KU in the past this season, when they got hit in the mouth on the road, they've kind of folded. And are they going to do it this time too? And when, you know, when OU kind of came back and took the lead, and they didn't, man, you know, they took that punch and just kept right on going. And that was such a good sign and something that I think Bill Self was obviously super fired up about after the game.
Yeah. And I think that just to talk about that point a little bit further, I think that the loss in Ames almost taught them how to win this game. Cause I think the first 3/4 of it followed almost the same blueprint.
Like KU, yeah, I think you're right.
KU started off really well, went into halftime with a lead. Iowa State, you know, trudged its way back, got its way back in the first 10 minutes of the second half. And then it all came down to the last 10 minutes. At Iowa State, we folded. And versus Oklahoma, we stood our ground. Some leaders really poked their heads up and fought through, and we got the win. So I think that they followed the similar blueprint, except, you know, just different ending, different act.
I'm calling this Ocean's 13, Andrew. I think this was Ocean's 13 worthy.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
Ruben!
Partner! It was obviously, I mean, we're kind of burying the lead. The Devontae Graham show, right?
He was the Danny Ocean of this Jayhawks 13.
Wow.
13 men on the roster. I don't know how many are actually on the roster. But let's talk about Devontae. This was the Devontae Graham show. 27 points. 6 of 9 from the three-point line, 39 minutes, and I think most importantly, he had the assignment of Buddy Hield for most of the game, and held him in check. And when we say held him in check, he had 24 points, which, like, oh, your guy scored 24 points, but, you know, held him in check. Buddy only had 6 points in the first half, and they were all free throws, had no field goals. I'm not sure that's happened at all this year. I didn't go back and check, but I would feel very confident in saying that I don't think there's been a half where Buddy Hield's been held without a field goal.
Yeah, I would think that's a good bet.
Just to talk a little bit more about Devontae, He outscored Buddy Hield 8-1 in the last 4 minutes. So in terms of closing, Devontae was the closer. Buddy was not, and he defended him the whole time. He batted a ball out of bounds on a fast break that really could have led to Buddy Hield 3, just in terms of where everybody was positioned on the floor. He had a weird foul off the ball that with that 25 seconds left, but you know, Buddy went 1-for-2 from the line, and that's kind of where the game ended.
Yep, and he was, I think you're right. I actually don't know. I mean, obviously he made a ton of threes, and offense was great. But when you look at it, would you say he played better defense or offense? I mean, that's what's so crazy about this game. I thought he was amazing on defense, and that will probably go overshadowed by his 27 points. But I don't think anyone's played Buddy Hield that well all year. And I mean, Buddy obviously made shots, and he's going to make shots, and he's going to shoot a lot. But man, I thought he was so good.
He was the best player on the floor, and that includes two guys on the wooden watch with Perry Ellison and Buddy Hield. But he was by far the best player on the floor.
Yeah,
he's coming out, man. Quite obvious.
I was having this conversation with our guy Reed Forgrave about how, you know, he's a Wayne Selden apologist, and he probably listens to the podcast. And I'm gonna make fun of him for a second because he's like, man, Wayne's been so good. I'm like, no. Wayne's been terrible. He's shooting like, I don't know, 20% in the Big 12 play from three or whatever it is. It's not good. And I said, but you know who's been really good from three in Big 12 play? My boy Devontae Graham shooting 47% from 3-point. I was like, he's our new 3-point shooter other than Brandon. And then he goes out and does what he did last night. So I'm going to be sure to rub that into him this week sometime. But man, he's been so good in Big 12 play shooting the three. I actually want him shooting more threes. I mean, are you with me there?
If they're open, I mean, he's been taking a lot. I mean, he's taken
good shots though.
He took 9 threes. That's a lot to take in one game. Made 6 of them. So, I mean,
yeah.
in terms of, you know, when that ball's moving across the court, when it's moving from side to side, Devontae's finding himself open.
None of them were early in the shot clock or anything. I mean, he was taking good shots, I thought. Would you agree?
They were in rhythm. Yeah. It wasn't like he was forcing anything. I think Wayne forces a couple of per game.
Yes, he did.
But Devontae's finding himself open at the top of the key or in the corner, and they're going in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple other bright spots. I think Landon Lucas is a bright spot. 7 points, 10 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds. Those are huge for KU in getting those second chance points. So Landon kind of solidifying himself at that 5 spot, and not just in terms of statistics, but, well, I guess the other statistic that's probably most important for this, minutes. He's getting 25, 27, 30 minutes a game at that spot. No one else is really getting in. You see Chet get in a little bit. You see Brad get in a little bit. Jamari's kind of sitting on the bench a lot. It's kind of Landon's spot now.
Yep, I think you're right. And I thought actually Diallo and Bragg both played well in their limited minutes. I mean, Diallo had like 4 boards in 3 minutes. And
3 fouls.
And a turnover. But he was fine. And then I thought he played pretty good defense too, but Landon played great defense too, man. Spangler and Latin didn't do anything yesterday. So between he and
really,
Perry,
those
both
two guys, never a threat.
I know. And they have been, you know, for quite a bit, either it's putbacks or blocks or making their impact on the game with rebounds or whatever. They were quiet. So, and Latin didn't even play a lot in the second half. They kind of stretched it out. So it was an interesting game. I thought their defense overall, you know, these last two games, like I said, I think West Virginia shot 37% from the field. Oklahoma shot 33% from the field. And all of a sudden, we're starting to see a KU defense start to kind of resemble a KU Bill Self defense, man. I mean, they're playing well, and it's leading to points on the other end as well. So a fun game. I don't know. Best road win since?
Couple to point out to you. Iowa State 2014. Yeah. K-State 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I think K-State was ranked 11th then. Ohio State 2012. That was the Macklemore year. Remember the Macklemore dance in the locker room?
Mm-hmm.
That was that win. Probably going back to those. But I think this one's bigger than all those.
It might be. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It was so funny listening to him in the post game, man. Like, I don't think I've heard him that giddy like about his team in a long time. Definitely this year, he hasn't been that giddy. Yeah. And if you think about it, it's like his perfect kind of win, you know, gritty, kind of roughing it out, defensive effort, holding the other team to 33%, coming on the road and showing toughness when you got hit in the mouth. And like, this was a Bill Self, like, man, this is what he has dreams about. And you could tell he was pretty fired up.
You know, and as good as this team is starting to kind of come around, probably both defensively and offensively, we weren't firing on all cylinders.
No.
Not every piece was perfect. And there's a couple struggles. I think both Perry and Wayne struggled. I don't think we have to worry about Perry. He's going to come around. He's had so many great games in a row. You know, I think he's 4 for 12, but hit two big threes. You know, those are going in for him. Wayne Selden, I'm worried about. I mean, I guess he had the flu for a while, but let's look at from three, which was his kind of calling card at the beginning of the year and beginning of Big 12 play.
Is this the tough love segment?
This is the tough love segment.
All right, love is in the air, but this is tough love segment.
Just want to kind of acknowledge Wayne Selden's three-point prowess. Last five Big 12 games, okay, from three. 1 for 6, 1 for 5, 0 for 4, 1 for 5, and 1 for 5. So 1 for 5 seems to be his deal. 20%.
It's like 4 for 25, if my counting was right, as you were talking.
Now that excludes the Kentucky game. That was not a Big 12 game. That Kentucky game played great. So, I mean, if Perry can step it up, I'm not worried about Perry. Wayne can become early Wayne, then this team can only get better. I mean, Wayne played like that, and we just beat the number three team in the country at their place. That being said about Wayne, Brandon Green has been picking up the slack.
Yeah, he has.
At least on offense. Defense, man.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Brandon.
I think everyone on the team knows when Brandon's on the floor, like, they need to guard their guy and then also always keep an eye on Brandon's guy.
A quarter of Brandon's guy. So if everyone else guards a quarter of Brandon's guy, 4.25. We can keep five guys guarded.
Yeah, I think so.
But offensively, Brandon has been getting a lot of minutes and kind of picked up the pace for Wayne a little bit. Also, I didn't put this in the rundown, Kevin, but I want to chat about this a little bit. I don't know if you saw this in the LJ World. I think Gary Bedore had a tiny article about how Bill Self had a little chat with Fred Hoiberg.
That was great.
Yeah, so Fred came to visit his daughter, who goes to KU and I think works in the athletic office. So Bill and Fred had a little chat, and they talked about the Iowa State 4-out-1-in offense, and we kind of ran that for a while.
A little bit.
With Brandon playing the 4. So you have, I mean, if you consider Wayne a shooter, which he still is, but you've got Frank, Wayne, Devontae, and Brandon, all threats to make threes, all pretty good. I mean, even Wayne still. Pretty good percentage shooters.
And Perry was on the court,
And Perry was on the court, too. So this is completely different than anything Bill Self's ever done. And honestly, kind of antithetical to his entire philosophy of basketball.
Yeah.
But they played that for a while, and it worked pretty well. I mean,
yeah, I can't remember what the stretch was, but wasn't it like 9-1?
And I don't think we're going to do that too often, but we played like Iowa State for a little while.
Yeah, I think it will be matchup dependent, but at least it's in the bag of tricks you could pull out at some point this year if you need to go to it. That was pretty funny, and obviously, you know, it got probably more play on Twitter or whatever than it needed to be, but it was still kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a stretch for just a handful of minutes, maybe two occasions, but I mean, I can't remember, but it wasn't a significant amount of time, but...
Well, the problem was Frank fouled out. Frank got his fourth foul.
But like, it's in the office. It's in the book. Yeah. It's in their heads. I bet they'll work on a little bit more, maybe against a couple teams coming up. Definitely not against K-State. Definitely not against Baylor. But maybe you see that against Texas. Maybe you see that. Just to keep an eye out. And maybe against Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State, I think, is going to be down some guys. But let's finish off the OU talk. Probably the biggest win of the year. Maybe the biggest win on the road in several years since we can remember. Definitely in the Big 12. But is this the last time we will see these teams matched up? I mean, what are the chances we meet them again in the Big 12 tournament or in the NCAA tournament?
I would set the over under at 1.5 and take the under, but barely. I think we're going to see him again. It'd be awesome to see him twice, obviously. Because if we see him twice, that means that we're in the final four, because they're not going to be put in the same, likely not to be put in the same bracket. Hopefully that we're both still kicking at all cylinders and being one seeds. But man, I do think we are set to see them again in Kansas City, and it will be probably pretty epic there too.
I hope so. Let's move on. With the way KU's at now, kind of where they're at in the standings, they're tied with West Virginia. There's six games left in the Big 12. So every game that we preview, we kind of got to know like where we're going to be after that. K-State, and where we're going to be after that. So let's take a little bit more time with these previews to kind of give us some context of what it's going to take to win 12 in a row Big 12 titles. But let's start off with Oklahoma State. Big Monday.
Yep.
At Allen Fieldhouse at 8 o'clock. I'd say this is a revenge game. You know, the previous.
Yeah, I think so.
We lost by 19 in Stillwater, Kevin.
Yeah, that kind of sticks out, doesn't it?
Let's sneak down to our power rankings. We have them power ranked number 9. I think that's 9 right in the standings. That was a bad loss. So I think we're going to be looking to clean up our nose a little bit. One thing to point out, likely no Juwan Evans, their star freshman. Evans had 22 points in the win against KU in Stillwater. I feel good about this one.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what the line will be. Any guesses?
Probably KU like, minus 11?
No, I bet it's more than that.
More than that?
Yeah, I bet it's more like 15.
Well,
15 and a half. It might be more than that.
I'm just thinking of the line. I think we'll win by more than that.
It might be 16.
Could this be one of the biggest turnaround games of the season? And I guess I'm talking in terms of how much we lost away versus how much we win at home.
Yes.
We lost by 19. How much should we win this game by?
18.
Okay, so in 2013, we lost to TCU by 6, but then we won by 26. So that's a span of 32. So we lost by 19 to Oklahoma State. We've got to win by 21 or more to get to 40. I think it could be in that range. That could be one of the bigger turnarounds. I think Baylor a couple of years ago was one of those turnaround games. This could be one of the biggest ones we've had in a while. I think we're just going to blow them out.
I do too. I think you're right. I don't. The only problem that would be, you know, is if they, again, overlook them or just, you know, tired from this last game on Saturday, but. No, I think they'll be laser focused after that Stillwater game.
All right. Prediction for this game.
85-64. Ooh. We're going to win by more than 20.
All right. I like it. I'm going to steal that exact same. I like that.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in and say 85-64.
All right. There you go.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about K-State. All right. This is at Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan, Kansas. Kevin. This will be K-State's Super Bowl, just like it was last year. They weren't going to go in the postseason and do anything. This will be K-State's Super Bowl. They have an outside chance to get to some postseason stuff. Not looking great. I think Texas Tech's kind of jumped up in terms of that outsider Big 12 team ready to make a move to get into maybe the
tournament. How about Texas Tech?
No, Texas Tech's taking that mantle from K-State. But let's talk about a couple things. K-State just beat Oklahoma in Bramlage. We didn't do great against K-State in Allen Fieldhouse, even though we won by 18. But this isn't going to be a battle. I mean, do you think that? How do you think this game goes?
I'm not sure. I think I'm with you. I think it'll be a tough game. Always is there. They play really good defense. And that's something, but at the same time, I just don't think the teams are very close from just a talent standpoint. K-State is young. They can't shoot. I mean, they're terrible from 3-point range. I think the only way that they, you know, stay in this game is if for some reason out of nowhere, they defy all statistics and go like 10 of 19 from 3. And all of a sudden, you know, they're making some shots. I don't think that they're good enough. I think KU right now is laser focused after this last game and last two games and really last couple weeks. They've won, what, five in a row now, and I think are starting to hit on all cylinders. Obviously, they know there is no room for error now in the Big 12, and I'm sure the staff will continue to remind them of that. And I think they can handle the pressure now, man. I think this game just kind of opened up a little bit more positive vibes about KU. I think, you know, at one point we were questioning whether maybe they didn't want to be the one that lost the Big 12, the team that did it. And so they were taking the pressure and the pressure was bothering them and things like that. But after that Oklahoma game, you know, I'm throwing all of that out the window. I think they can handle pressure. I think they're excited to play these games. And I think they come out of there with a win.
I think so too. I want to give a little state of the rivalry update part two.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say I miss Frank Martin.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of that South Carolina-Kentucky game before our game on Saturday.
Oof.
South Carolina got destroyed, but it just made me miss Frank Martin. But maybe it's better that Bruce Weber is the coach of K-State because I just don't like Bruce Weber.
Yeah.
I just don't like him, and I like Frank Martin. I actually kind of love Frank Martin. He's kind of my dude. so maybe it's better that a guy I like is the coach of a rival. Or I don't like is the coach of a rival as opposed to Frank Martin, who I do like. I think that both Bruce Weber and K-State fans, since Bruce Weber took over, have just gotten kind of whiny.
A little whiny. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that's just it's just whiny.
Taking it from the lead.
Yeah. I think it's just whiny. And I don't know. We'll see how it is in Bramlage. Bramlage is not an easy place to play. You know, we did win there, 100 times in a row since the 80s. But, you know, in past history, you know, past 5 years, not done so well.
No.
Two and three in the last five. And against Bruce Weber specifically, since he's taken over in Bramlage, we are 1-2. We've got a win in 2013. That was the Macklemore team. We won by four. And K-State was ranked 11 at the time. So that was, you know, a good K-State team. K-State tied us for the Big 12 championship that year. And then the past 2 years, they haven't been good at all, and we've lost both of them. 85-82 overtime in 2014, that's the Wiggins year. And then last year, we lost 70-63. That team was even worse. So we got up and won the big game, lost the games we should have won easily. So I'm predicting a win, but it won't be easy. I predict a single digit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think we're going to blow them out, but I think it's like a 6 or 7 point game.
Okay.
I'm with you, and I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring, so, I don't know, 75-68, something like that.
I think so. And so it's tough to win on the road anywhere, but we do play against two of the bottom teams of the Big 12, but some of the other teams we are competing for the title with have a little bit tougher schedules. So this week, let's talk about the games ahead. On Monday night, obviously, we have Oklahoma State at KU. On Tuesday, West Virginia goes to Texas. So that's a game in terms of Big 12 championship. That's going to be a key game to watch. K-State goes to TCU, and Iowa State goes to Baylor. Wednesday, Oklahoma goes to Texas Tech. Now, I mean, going to Texas Tech is not as it used to be. Texas Tech took down Baylor. Took down Iowa State this past week. They are looking like they're rolling. And then on Saturday, Baylor goes to Texas, and then Oklahoma goes to West Virginia. So that's another one
that's
we got
to
circle in terms of the Big 12 race. We go to K-State. TCU goes to Iowa State. Texas Tech goes to Oklahoma State. So the big games we need to watch this week in terms of outside of KU, Tuesday, West Virginia at Texas. And then Saturday, Oklahoma at West Virginia. Let's talk a little bit more of the race to the end. With these wins against West Virginia and Oklahoma, is KU in the driver's seat? Now, I ask you this, Kevin, because previous podcast, you were not so sure that KU was going to get their 12th Big 12 title in a row. What are your thoughts now?
I think they put themselves in a much better position. I still would probably, I don't know, I'd probably still take the field against KU, but it's probably 50-50 now I think KU will win its home games. And if they win their home games, that means they beat Iowa State and Texas Tech. And I'm sorry, and Oklahoma State. And what's the third home game? Texas Iowa State's the last one. That's it, right?
Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Okay. Not in that order, but.
Right. So they'll win. I think they'll win those three. And then it really comes down to playing at Texas, which is going to be a really hard game. And playing at Baylor, which normally we do okay, but you never know. So I think those are going to be the ones to watch. And obviously the Iowa State game at home. But that senior night, I feel pretty good about that one. Basically, we got to just take care of business. I think we could probably afford to drop one more, but maybe not more than that. So that means they're going to have to win that game, one of those two games at Baylor or at Texas remaining, and to really feel like they have a really good shot. Do you agree with that?
One more loss is probably okay. Not two.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. So they're going to have to go 5-1 down the stretch, right?
I think 14-4 is going to win it, maybe outright, but could tie. I mean, we got to understand, like, we've had these 14-4 teams win. We've had these 13-5 teams win in the past outright. But these Big 12 teams, specifically West Virginia and Oklahoma, are just way better than the competition we've faced in the past.
And West Virginia's got a little bit easier schedule, but this week is basically they're, like, if they survive this week, they're going to be in a really good spot. But if they don't, they could go 0-2 against the teams that they play this week at Texas and then Oklahoma at home. If they go 0-2, I mean, that kind of puts them in obviously a little bit of a disadvantaged position as well. So this is a huge week for West Virginia, just kind of like this last week was a huge week for KU. We shall see what happens there. And then obviously Oklahoma has a little bit easier stretch as well. In terms of the schedule, I actually think KU still has maybe the toughest, or is it West Virginia that has the toughest now? I think going into the OU game, everyone thought KU had the toughest schedule remaining, but now that we got that
out of the way, and I think it changes now. I mean, we've definitely got a hard schedule coming up, but we're done with the top two teams we're competing with.
Yeah,
they still have to play each other. Right. You know, we've got to go to Baylor, got to go to Texas. But it's a little different than the immediate teams were sitting up in the standings.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about some power rankings, Kevin.
The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power Rankers!
I was ready that time.
I know. So you said you're probably still taking the field, but are you confident in putting KU number one?
I think you have to.
Jayhawk Talk Power Rankings, you have to?
I think you have to. We're 2-0 against number 2-3.
Beat OU in Norman. I think you get to jump up and put KU number one. It's been a while since the old Jayhawk Talk podcast
has put
KU number one in the power rankings, but here they are. I'm going to go ahead, and you can feel free to disagree with me, but put OU 2, West Virginia is ahead of them in the standings.
Yep, I think so too.
Okay, so OU 2, West Virginia 3, Iowa State 4?
Probably, yeah. I mean, Texas is the one with the argument there.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the loss of Texas versus Iowa State. You know, Iowa State got the win, so I still think they probably belong there. I'm going to go with Iowa State.
Okay, and then we've got Baylor and then Texas. What are your thoughts?
See, I think I'd switch those.
Okay, you put Texas 5, Baylor 6?
Yes. Okay. If you lose to Texas Tech on the road, or at home, I'm sorry, at home by 19 points, you don't deserve to be in the top 5.
Okay, then next, number 7. The number 7 spot is the all-important possible Big 12 seventh team into the NCAA tournament spot. We had K-State in that spot forever, but no longer. Texas Tech jumps up, which I want to talk a little bit more about them here in a second.
Now, wait a minute. I want to talk about Texas Tech right now. Let's look at their schedule, because I'm not sure they're a tournament team. Well, I don't know, maybe. Okay, so here we go. They've got games left. Let's just call it Oklahoma is their next game. That's going to be pretty tough, right? So let's just say that they're going to lose that one. That would put them at 15-10. Not looking too hot, right?
Right, but what in the conference does that make them?
That would make them 5-8.
Okay, So I think it's going to take 8 and 10 in the conference for them to even be in discussion. I don't think that 7 and 11, I think that they're kind of eliminated.
But stick with me. Their next two games after that are at Oklahoma State and versus TCU.
Yeah, they can win those.
So that would get them to 7 and 8. And then, Andrew, they play KU, so let's give them 7 and 9 there. But their last two games at West Virginia and K-State at home, I mean, that could be 8 and 10. I mean, they could literally be favored to be 8 and 10. You know, talking about, you know, in Vegas, if you forecasted it out, they'd be 8 and 10 right now.
I think you're right. I think KenPom has them finishing the season 18 and 12, finishing 8 and 10.
There you go.
In the Big 12, they're going to need to win those games. You know, tough ones are going to be, you know, K-State at home. They've already lost to K-State. And then at Oklahoma State, that's probably the one you got to look at, right?
Yeah.
That's if they can win that game, they're going to be on their way. You don't see a lot of teams with in the teens make the tournament, but this one certainly can. They are currently ranked 42 in KenPom, which is the mark of a tournament team.
32 in RPI.
In RPI, so they're 32, and then the strength of schedule overall is number 3?
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, they've got the factors here for a team in the teens to make the tournament. Now, certainly if they win some games in the Big 12 tournament, they'd be most certainly in, but probably not likely. Maybe get a win if they're the 7 seed, gets them a win against the number 10. That puts them at 19. They finish with 19 and 11. That could get them in, maybe.
Yeah. Yep. I think so, too. Crazy. Good for the Red Raiders. Good for old Tubby. Let's move on, Andrew. So finish out the rest of the power rankings.
Okay,
there.
So we move K-State down to 8. Unlikely that they're going to get into the NCAA tournament. Maybe have a shot at the NIT. They've got to finish above 500. I'm not sure that's the official rule anymore. But kind of an indicator, a little rule of thumb. So it's going to be close for them. Probably need to get a couple wins for them to have a shot at the NCAA tournament. Most likely they're shooting for NIT. And then Oklahoma State number 9 and TCU 10. I think TCU's good. They're just not going to beat anybody. I don't think they're great. I mean, I think they're a better team than they've been in the past. But they're just, I don't know where they're going to get any wins.
That's the problem.
I don't know what they're not going to do anything.
They need to be in the SEC. I mean, they probably have like 7 wins in the SEC.
Yeah, well, they've got more than they have now. In the SEC, I bet they're not middle of the pack, but lower end of middle of the pack.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they'd win the conference. I'm just saying they'd knock off some of these terrible SEC teams.
But, you know, there's some big-time recruits looking to go to TCU. Not sure if Trent Johnson is going to be there next year, but, you know, I think they're going to be a team that's going to get better. They're definitely not a team that's going to be bottom dweller forever. But, you know, since they've entered, they've had kind of one highlight in a victory against KU. And not much.
Not many more, yeah.
Okay, Kevin, so big week for the Big 12. KU plays teams at the bottom of the Big 12 power rankings, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be easy. Certainly at K-State, going to be one of our tougher games the entire year. Bramlage Coliseum will probably be crazy.
Probably.
You've been to a game at Bramlage, right?
Yeah, a couple.
And what's your thoughts? Like, how does it – I mean, you've told me in the past that it compares to Allen Fieldhouse when KU plays.
Well, I mean, in terms of, like, noise – I think that's fair because we've talked about this. I mean, their students don't go to any other game but this one. And then they come in and get as rowdy as possible because this is like their Super Bowl. This is what they get up for. This is where they go check in their tickets for basketball games and then just walk right out because the people that have been to more games get better seat priority. So it will be interesting to see what this particular team brings because K-State's been so up and down. That win against Oklahoma actually was a pretty decent crowd, I think. But losing this week was pretty rough. And so I think had they continued to win, it might have been more. But it's going to be one of those things, man. If we just shut them out early, if we play well early, keep the crowd out of it, I think, you know, we roll. But if we keep them close, it's going to be noisy.
Okay, Kevin. Things to watch out for K-State. Last little bit. Watch out for Sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for court storming Jamari.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Jamari. Watch out for that. They didn't storm the court against Oklahoma because they said there's new protocols in place that prevent it. I don't believe that because if a student body wants to storm the court, they will do it. So if they do beat KU, I do believe they will storm the court. But doesn't matter. Watch out for Sandstorm. Let's just not let them storm the court and just win by 21. How about that?
I like it.
Let's close out with a little segment, new segment I like to call Step Your Game Up.
What you looking at?
Step your game up.
What you waiting for?
Step your game up.
Go come on in the dump.
Step your game up.
Drop it to the floor and just
step. All right, Andrew, what's Step Your Game Up?
Yeah, this is a game segment where I ask you questions to test your knowledge of kind of college basketball or just whatever. You did tell me recently that you saw the Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not a Star Wars guy.
No. And the point of this also is for you to play along at home.
Right. So, test your own knowledge against Kevin's. Kevin just saw the Star Wars movie. Some of you listening are probably huge Star Wars fans. Kevin is not.
Nope.
So you may have an advantage. So this game is college basketball player or Star Wars character.
Cool.
Okay. This was actually a lot easier to find these names than I thought because there's a lot of awesome names.
All right.
Okay. So you have to guess. I've got a list of literally like 20, but I'm going to pick the best ones. You have to pick if this is a Star Wars character or a player on
I'll
a roster
fast, that way you can
or
get through more.
A college basketball team. You ready?
Try not to think. Yep. First thing that comes to my mind.
First one. Well, give it a little pause. Let the listeners at home kind of stew in their heads too. So I'm going to tell this and then you have to guess. Ready? Mm-hmm. First one, Max Rebo. R-E-B-O. Max Rebo. Is this a college basketball player or a Star Wars character?
I say that is a college basketball player.
That is not a college basketball player. That is a Star Wars character. That is the band leader at Jabba's Palace in Return of the Jedi.
There you go.
No, right, I know you haven't seen that one.
I don't think so.
You've seen the very first. You've seen A New Hope and the new one, right? That's all you've seen ever?
Okay. Yep.
You ready for another one?
Yep.
Okay. What am I going to go to next? Koyi Mateli.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, Koyi Mateli.
College basketball player.
That is a Star Wars character that was in the opera scene in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Like, dude, tell me this, though. Do you know these guys? Like, did you know these guys off the top of your head? Or
not the last one, but the first one. I knew Max Rebo.
Okay. See, like, this, I mean, like, the super duper, uber duper Star Wars people might know these off the top of their head, but I didn't know if you were, like, picking ones that were, like.
Dude, step your game up, Kevin.
All right.
Step your game up. All right. Okay. Taco Fall. T-A-C-K-O-F-A-L-L. Taco?
I think I've heard of this person. So I'm going to say college basketball
player. That is a college basketball person. You have heard of this guy. He plays for Central Florida. He is 7'6".
That's right. That guy.
He's on ESPN a lot.
Yeah. I couldn't remember where I heard. Okay. Yep. I remember him now.
All right. You ready? Jack Porkins.
Star Wars.
That is a Star Wars character. Yes. He is the fat pilot in episode 4 that gets blown up in the Death Star run.
Of course he is. Yeah.
We got one more. So you're 2-2.
Feeling pretty good.
Starting off a little rough. we got one more. Is this a Star Wars character or a college basketball player? Sean Obi.
Star Wars.
That is a player for Duke who actually plays. Sean Obi. Not Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That wasn't fair.
Not Sean Obi-Wan Kenobi. Sean Obi is a player for Duke who gets on the floor. I think he played yesterday against Virginia.
Okay.
So Sean Obi, I don't know if he played. He's not a good
player. I do know the name now that you say it.
So that's good. You went 2-3. Hopefully you at home did better than Kevin. But
I would hope so.
Step your game up, Kevin.
All right. I will next time. Probably not. Is there anything else we need to get to before we get out of here? Oh, I do have one thing. We have some new drops, as you heard. Oh, okay. That one.
Yeah, test them out for the crew.
We asked last time if anybody had the Dick Move radio drop thing that we were going to turn into a drop. No one sent it to us, but I guess, Andrew, you found it somehow?
Found
it on SoundCloud. Okay, well, here is our drop for to use in perpetuity for Dick Move.
That was probably the biggest dick move. Dick move. Dick move.
That's it. There it is. Andrew, you couldn't hear it there, but you heard it earlier. What do you think?
I like it.
Okay.
I love it, actually. I wish either you... I can't do this. I have no musical talent, but someone really needs to turn it into like a techno remix.
I wanted to. I didn't have time, but that's all I had. I had 2 minutes to put something together.
You've got one more. This is for when things don't go so well for the Jayhawks.
Yeah. Here it is. Let's call self.
I need to get drunk and it's only Monday.
That's it.
Love it.
That's it.
I love it.
That was from the old Bob Fesco and Klang reading, having him read tweets about him, which is actually probably the best segment Bob Fesco's show has ever had. But I stole that and used that here and put a little music behind it. So
I love.
We'll call Bill Self whenever we lose on the weekend and see how he's doing, and he'll probably say that.
I love it. Well, hopefully we don't have to play that for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
Big week, even though it's not as big as last week. I think every week's big going forward if we're going to win our 12th straight Big 12 title and get some momentum into the NCAA tournament. So K-State, we're coming for you. We'll see Oklahoma State in Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow. Before we get out of here, please subscribe and rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. It's the easiest way to get our podcast straight to your iPhone or your Teddy Ruxpin or however you listen to the podcast. We've got some great reviews. We've got some loyal listeners, so thank you for listening every week. We will be back next week, hopefully with a better idea of how we sit in terms of the NCAA tournament and more specifically the Big 12 title race. Kevin, Rock Chalk.
Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk.
They see us as support, and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together, and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
Since it is Valentine's Day, I have one more little Valentine to share. This goes out to all those Hunter Mickelson fans. These are Hunter's words. I hope you enjoy.
Way down in an Arkansas town, a boy dreams of tomorrow. Compared to others, he stands high above, but he often thinks to himself, will I ever meet love? He was shy around girls, didn't know quite where to start, but everyone knows that size measures heart, and he's got the biggest heart of them all. Will you climb the ladder so you can reach him so tall? And he says to himself, I wanna meet the one, the girl that gets me, not just anyone. I deserve a slam dunk, I deserve a home run. And when I meet her, I'll say, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. I'll say, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Walks through campus, eyes toward the ground. Nobody notices the gentle giant abound. Except that one time, the girl in the crowd, she held a sign about how Hunter's well endowed. And he thinks to himself, well shit, maybe she's the one. She wore a 42 jersey and not a 41. Well, she could be my slam dunk, she could be my home run. And when I meet her, I'll say, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. I'll say, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Well, suddenly he doesn't feel so alone, like the floating defender in a boxing one zone. He wonders how he'd meet her in person or the phone. And would she understand him? Does he need Rosetta Stone? Well, does she like seafood or maybe macaron? And is she cool with a guy who talks in monotone?
Hey, what's up?
Saying, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Saying, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Ma'am, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Saying, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Saying, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Saying, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. On my iPhone FaceTime, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Spot up on the baseline, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Watching MSNBC, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Thinking about Benghazi's embassy, I'm Hunter Mickelson. Blocking shots without a jump, I'm Hunter Mickle's son, and will you be my Ivana Trump? I'm Hunter Mickle's son, and when we finally meet, I'll say, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickle's son, and I'll sweep you off your feet, 'cause I'm Hunter Mickle's son.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That was probably the biggest dick move. Dick move. Dick move.